Morning.
Reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. And it's on page 1029 of the Church Bible. That's page 1029, Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for bringing that reading for us. We are going to celebrate Christmas in the coming 4 weeks. What are your expectations for celebrating this Christmas? We can talk. What are your expectations? What do you normally expect for celebrating Christmas?
Presents.
Not what?
Turkey.
I think he didn't have the breakfast today, I think. Anything else? What are we normally expect for Christmas in this 4 weeks' time? What will we do?
Come here.
Come.
Christmas morning, come here.
Tox, you said something. No, you didn't say?
Cake,
Harita, yes. Yes, what else we do?
Gifts, presents.
Jeba and JP are going for shopping now.
Seeing all the family.
Being with the family and friends.
Fireworks.
Yes, Bola, we'll do that.
Singing carols,
yes. Anything else? Decorations, we have done already. Yes, playing game, yes. So we do all these things during Christmas. Yeah, it started with the turkey and finishing with the turkey, yes. Which one?
Mince pie,
yes, Gloria. We should not forget that. Definitely, we'll do that. So here, we have 3 boxes before us, unopened. So we must be expecting something there in the boxes. So we are going to open the boxes one after the another and see what it has. Out of all these 3 boxes, this is beautifully wrapped. And I like yellow color, golden color. So this is beautifully wrapped. It looks like more time has been spent and the efforts been taken in wrapping this box. So I definitely think that there must be something significant in here. I am excited to open this box. Hope you are all as well. Yeah? So, I need a volunteer to open this box. But before going to that, since we are all excited with expectation of something in the box, let us call this box as excitement in expectation. Before Jesus Christ was born into this world in Israel, the Israelites might have had a similar excitement in expectation to see the Messiah coming to them as the first time. Messiah means an anointed one and a holy one coming down to this earth from heaven. The Israelites were already told the Messiah who is going to come will deliver them from all their difficulties. So they were eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. And they were waiting in anticipation for nearly, do you know how many years? 4 years? Nearly 400 years they were waiting in anticipation to see the Messiah who is going to come to them as a first time. Since he is coming as a first time, it was called First Advent. The meaning of Advent is coming, which is derived from the Latin word Adventus. So they were waiting for it. We, the contemporary Christians, might have already known that Jesus Christ the Savior was born in Bethlehem. And he was raised up as a Nazarene. And he did ministry to God in different parts of Judea, Samaria, everywhere. And he offered his own life for us on the cross in the Gethsemane. Okay, Calvary, Gethsemane, yeah. And he rose again on the third day. Many people witnessed that he has risen from death. And then he was ascended to heaven from the Mount Sinai. And now he is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Yeah. Since we knew already all these facts from the book called the Bible, our expectations in celebrating this Christmas might not be similar to that of the expectations of the Israelites when they were really waiting for the Messiah to see as the first time in their life. Their expectation was like this. I would like, Kishore, be the Israelite today and open this box and see what is inside. Yes, you can't give it to everyone, but you can open. Yeah, yeah, just tear it. So Israelites might have expected when the Messiah is going to come, how he is going to come, and full of excitement, like we are all excited now to see this. What is inside this box? You can open that box. What is inside? Oh, there is another box. So they waited for 400 years. So they must have waited in patience. Yes, there is another box? No. Okay. What is inside? Nothing. Nothing. We all were excited and nothing is inside there. Yeah? So there is one paper here, must be there. saying about something there. And that is nothing but
Luke 3:15.
Thank you, Kishore. So these people were waiting expectantly and they're all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be their Messiah. I was really wondering about the Israelites people, how they have excited in expectation and they were waiting. And their waiting in patience has sustained in them for such a long period. When John the Baptist burst onto the scene, they were all excited. When John the Baptist started preaching, they all wondered if long awaited Messiah has come already. So they went to see who the John Baptist is. 400 years of waiting in patience should be really appreciated. And whenever such exciting things happening around them, they immediately go around and see whether their Messiah has come or not. But one thing we need to notice, in this long period of waiting, they were not distracted. They were not deviated. They were not going away from the promises what they have received from their ancestors. They were holding on to that promises. They were not following different gods. They were not following any new spiritual movements. They were just holding on to the words they heard from their ancestors. Messiah is going to come. Let me wait. Let us wait. And they waited patiently. And at this time, we should really appreciate the ancestors who passed on God and their faith values to their following generations. 400 years is not an age of one or two generations. It is about nearly four to five, maybe sometimes six generations. So they were patiently, sincerely following and passing on God's message to the following generations. Nowadays, even within one generation, the parent and the child has different expectation. The interest is changing. The technology is moving fast. And even the previous immediate generation could not catch up with the following generation. My dad was very much scared to draw money from the cash machine. He was always trusting to get the money across the counter in the bank. And now I am really confused about an app in the phone called Siri. Yeah? Siri app. Have you heard about it? Yeah? Yeah. There is Siri in there. And many days I have wondered, who is this Siri meddling in my life? Whenever I wrongly press the button, it comes up and saying, yes, I'm waiting. Who is that Siri? And I had to go to my children to get their help to understand who this fellow is. So the world is changing very fast. When I used to work in Imperial College, my colleagues used to come and ask me, how could you go to church every Sunday? Don't you have any other things to do other than going to Sunday? Now, I can feel the same or huge pressure over our children now. Their peers must be asking them now, why you are wasting your precious Sunday morning hours in the church? They must be facing a lot of pressure. So keeping our children in our Christian value, in our faith value, has become a great challenge. We need to strengthen them spiritually, and we need to equip them boldly to say to their friends, I live for Christ. We saw the box. Yeah, you were so excited to open, isn't it? Yep. So much expectation. It was beautifully wrapped and it was looking so beautiful from outside. Sometimes in our lives too, we think that we are doing exciting things, but they are all very temporary. It's not going to last for a long, and there will not be any truth or reality in there. Now, let us move on to the second box. And in this second box, again, we expect something. I need a volunteer now to open this box and see what it is. This one, it is not a big struggle. You can open like that. Yes. What is it there, Binu?
There is a cross.
There is a cross in there.
Luke 3:16 is written on the paper.
Luke 3:16. Thank you, Binu. Thank you. So he came as a simple person before us on this earth. There was some certainty in expectation. The immediate verse in Luke, same chapter 3, John was saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who is going to come is more powerful, and even I am not worthy enough to undo his straps of sandals. So he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John was saying to the people, those who came and looked for whether John was the Messiah, John was saying, no, I have come to prepare the way for the Lord. John was saying he was just the precursor, setting the scene for Christ to come and accomplish his mission. John did not blow his own trumpet. He was blowing the trumpet and clearing the way for Christ to come. And John was explaining not only about the Messiah is going to come soon, but he was also saying what the Messiah will be doing during his first coming. And he explained the mission of Messiah. The mission of Christ is to come and share the good news to everyone. And the good news is, God loved this world, so he sent me to this world. So whoever believes in me, you will have a perfect eternal life. Your life will not be destroyed. That was a simple message. Jesus came to this world to proclaim that. Christ does not want our life to finish here just after our death on this earth. He says we have life after death. And our life after death is going to be with Holy God. We cannot enter into God's holy presence with our sins. We are sinners. God is holy. With sins, we cannot enter into his presence. So, the sins had to be removed somewhere. Otherwise, we cannot enter into heaven. For that, a sinless man had to die. So that all our punishment for our sins will be laid upon him. And all our sins will be cleaned. And we can enter into God's presence after our life on this earth. So we need to find a man who is sinless and holy to die. God is holy. Who else could be other than God holier? No one. But God, can he die? God cannot die. He is everlasting. He is eternal. And his life no beginning and no end. He is throughout all generations. So God cannot die. So who else can die in that holy place, taking all our sins upon Him, so that we can go sin free and we can enter into God's presence after our life on this earth? So God sent His Son Jesus. God came down as a human form, in the form of Christ. And in the human form, human can die. So Christ experienced all our sufferings, and He went through the Calvary, and He sacrificed His life for us because He loves us. He wants us to go with Him in heaven to live a life everlasting. He does not want our life to be terminated here on this earth itself. God knows our needs. If our greatest need would have been a technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest demand or need in this earth is some instruction, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest demand or need in this earth is a pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need on this earth is forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. Only the Savior can forgive us. Only when we accept that Christ is my Savior, and we believe that Christ has come to take all my sins with Him, then we accept Him as our personal Savior, we can be forgiven, and after forgiveness, we can go to heaven. So God knows our needs. So God has asked us, the Christians, to go into the world, to go and share this good news. Christ died for you. You don't need to worry. Just believe in Him. Accept Him as your personal Savior. Then you can go to heaven. Very simple news. When I was in my previous life, when I was a Hindu, lived in India, many of you know about that. And during that time, people will come and knock the door. Mom used to say, like, go and see who is there. So I have opened the door and I came back and told Mom, the Christians again. I have told that. They have come again. I never realized then why these Christians are taking so much effort in sharing about their Jesus Christ to everyone. I never thought, even at a moment in my life then, why these people are doing, what benefit they are going to get out of this. There are no ticking boxes saying that, yes, I have brought this many people to the church this Sunday. There are no ticking boxes to say that, yes, I have brought this many souls into Christ today. Christ is not going to ask us how many souls you have converted in your life. He is not going to ask us. But still, why then these Christians are always coming and saying about Christ, come to church, know about Christ, and this is for your good? Why these people are doing that? It is all not for business. It is all because of the love. What we have experienced in our life from Christ the Savior should be shared with others. Nothing is going to be benefit for anyone. It is all because of the grace that we have showered upon from Christ to given to others, so that my brother, my sister, come along. You are not going to be left alone here. Your life is not going to be perished here. You are going to come with us to the eternity. because there is a way to go to heaven and Christ has opened the way. Only thing is, you need to accept that Christ died for me and my sins are upon him, and if I ask sorry to him, he will forgive. That is the only thing. We need to do that. Moving on to the third box. First Advent, first coming, Jesus came already and shared the good news, lived, died, rose again, and this is the good news. That's not the end of the story. I want Monish to open this box and see what is inside.
It's an elephant. it's a box. There's a beach island and a lamp.
Very good.
And Luke 3:17.
And do they have any letters there, Monish? Can it form anything into a word? L-E-F-I?
Lie or life?
Life. Yeah? Good. If you use all the four letters, it is life. Yeah? So there is a revelation. There is a truth in expectation. And Monish said, Luke 3:17. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is what is going to happen in his second coming. We are waiting for his second coming to happen. We are all waiting in that same expectation what the Israelites waited. They waited for 400 years. We don't know how long we need to wait. We have been told exactly what Christ will do in his second coming. We can read from 3:17. And we know exactly that he is going to come, but we don't know when he is going to come. We need to wait in patience. We need to wait with that same expectancy, same excitement, how he is going to come and how he is going to do this in his second coming. John has explained clearly, he is going to have a winnowing fork in his hand. First time he came as a humble baby to show the love, to ask everyone to come along with him, the good news, the pleasant news that we are celebrating every Christmas. But the second coming, he is going to come as a judge. He is going to judge the world because he has given enough time for us to hear the word of God, to respond to that. So those who are all here today have heard the word of God that Christ brought good news, come and be saved. And it is said in scripture, once the word has been proclaimed to the ends of the earth, then his coming will be there. So we cannot say, whoever is here in this sanctuary in the future, I haven't heard about it, because we have heard today. Now we need to make a response. How we are going to follow him, what we are going to say to Christ. Because he is going to use that winnowing fork to separate the wheat and the chaff. Chaff is nothing but the outside husk, and it will be sent for burning after that. And the wheat he separates from the grain, it will be collected as a grain for his use after that. It is going to go to heaven. And this chaff, he says, it will be put up in an unquenchable fire. He is going to carefully examine that. He is a God of love. He is God of grace. And he still wants us to come to him. So it is our response. This Christmas, what we are going to celebrate, how we are going to celebrate. Are we going to share this good news to the people around the world like John the Baptist was announcing? Are we going to celebrate about Christ's second coming so better people come along? If an earthquake comes, if a cyclone comes, if something disaster going to come, people will be announced earlier. Something is happening there, better be prepared. How will we be prepared? We'll go and tell our loved ones, hey, come along, something is going to come, let us be saved. That is the period of urgency we are living in now. Let us go and share Christ to everyone. And if anyone here today wants to talk with us or wants to know more about this Christ and how I can respond to that, what should I do? If you have any of these questions, please, 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 you are welcome. You come and talk to me and talk to any one of us here and we will help you. We will tell you more in detail how that should be done in the life in the future.